And I'm excited that this evening we get to focus a little bit more about how He is our refuge. And I pray the message this evening is an encouragement to you. We want to be a blessing. It's our goal this evening that through ministering the Word of God and through fellowship, we can be a blessing to you. And if neither of those are a blessing to you, we have coffee candy for you from Brazil. Amen. On the table. And so adults, please feel free to take the coffee candy. I'm a missionary to Brazil, one of the biggest producers of coffee in the world, and I do not drink coffee. Amen. So get it off my table. Amen. We also, for the children, kids, we have suckers on our table. And they're guaraná. It's a fruit from Brazil flavored. And so kids can grab those. Adults, you can have the Brazilian candy. Amen. Coffee candy. So that's on there. People don't like us, so we sweeten them up and bribe them. Amen. Amen. Okay. Amen. We'll get spiritual. Genesis 26. Amen. Open your Bibles, if you would, with me this evening. If you're physically able to, I would like to invite you to stand in honor of the reading of God's Word. Genesis chapter 26. May the Lord bless the reading of His Word. Genesis 26. We'll read quite a few verses, jumping around a little bit in the chapter. Genesis 26, starting in verse 1. And there was a famine, a time of trouble in the land, besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. In verse 2, and the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sometimes your plans, our plans, is not the Lord's plans. He has other ideas and plans for us. In verse 3, sojourn in the land, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. Now let's look over at verse 15. Talking about Isaac, for all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, go from us, for thou art much mightier than we. And Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names by the names which his fathers had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. Are we getting the picture here? They're in the land. They're journeying. They're obeying God's voice. It really wasn't what they had in mind. The plan they had was a plan where they didn't have to work, where they didn't have to dig wells. But the Lord said, I have a plan for you. I'm in control. Obey my voice. Follow my path. And so they're obeying God's will for their lives. But along the way, they had to dig some wells. And so let's look over here in verse 20. And the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, the water is ours. And he called the name of the well Esek, because they strove with him. So after the strife, what happened? Verse 21, and they digged another well and strove for that also, and called the name of it Sitna. And 22, and he removed from thence and digged another well. And for that, catch this, church, they strove not. And he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, for now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. we shall be fruitful in the land. Lord, we love you. We thank you for so much for your goodness and grace to us. Lord, we pray that you would bless this hour of Bible study. Lord, we pray that you'll bless this hour of preaching. Lord, I don't know the needs of your people that are here this evening, but Father, you know them. And Lord, I pray according to your will and your way that you would just work in our hearts and meet every need that's represented here tonight. We pray that in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. You may be seated. One of the first things I noticed when we first went to Brazil 17 years ago is that each individual house, because we were in the Amazon, had a hand-dug well. And now these hand-dug wells, because we're in the rainforest, you don't have to dig very deep to find water. The property that you saw that our church is located on, when we bought that, it was a swamp. I mean, we had 7 different springs of water coming up in the property, the lot there. I remembered I showed the adults in the Sunday school hour. We went and visited the property. And we had to lay down 2x6s and boards down just to get out there and go over all the water. And one of the ladies from the church said, "Pastor, there is a lot of water here." I said, "Well, praise the Lord. We're Baptists, and Baptists need lots of water, amen, to baptize." And so we believe in water, amen. Well, but I noticed in Brazil, you don't have to dig very far to get water because we're in a rainforest. But I noticed that in these holes that you find in every yard, there is a big hole about 6 feet in diameter, a big circle 6 feet around, and it usually go 15 to 20 feet deep. And our neighbor, when we first got to Brazil, I was calling for him. His name's Rafael. I'm like, "Rafael, Rafael." And he answered me back, but I couldn't find him anywhere. And I went over into his yard, and he was digging by hand one of these wells. And I looked down there, and we're talking Amazon, okay? We're talking hot, amen? Our winter is 4 days long where it might... Praise the Lord, if the Lord blesses, it might get as cold as 78 degrees. Amen? It is so cold, that's when we have our lowest church attendance, because everyone's too cold to leave their house at 78 degrees or with their stocking caps on, in bed, underneath their covers, hiding because it's too cold to get out and get to church. Amen? And so, but anyways, he's in this hot, muggy, dark, deep well, about 15 feet deep, and I could barely see him. And there are these little critters called roaches, amen, coming out of the well. And there is just, I did not envy him, amen. And I've been down in, I've been close to him, and I know that sometimes they stink. It's not the most pleasant job at all. Well, the Bible says here that Isaac obeyed the voice of the Lord. And during a famine, during a time of drought, had to dig some wells. They weren't in the rainforest. They weren't where, you know, 5 feet to 15, 20 feet down you could find the well. The lives of their children, their livelihood, their own lives depended on finding water in a desert. So they had to dig. They had to labor. They had to work. The Bible in verse 1 says there was a famine in the land. It was a troublesome time. It wasn't the easiest time. Yeah, have you noticed that today we spiritually live in a troublesome time? It may not be the easiest thing to go out door knocking. It might not be the easiest time to soul win, but the Lord has a plan. The Lord has a purpose. We have a command, amen, go ye therefore. And so there is a famine, there's a spiritual famine in our country. There's a spiritual famine in the world, and God has called us to dig some wells, amen. God has called us to find some water. God is, the water is a time of refreshment, amen. And I'm going to do that right now, amen. I'm making myself thirsty. No one said amen. This is the amen bottle, amen. You're quick learners. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Water is what they were after. Life. There was a famine in the land besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. Abraham went through some trials. His son Isaac had to go through his own trials. Children, kids, there will be some times in your life where your dad's faith, where your mom's faith, where your pastor's faith is not good enough for you in your life. You have to develop your own personal relationship. You have to dig your own wells. You have to get out there and you gotta study the Word of God. And you gotta pray and you gotta get on your knees and get to know God for who He is in your life. Because when the famines come in your life, the wells that your dad dug, the wells that his daddy Abraham dug, was not sufficient for him in his days. In the days of Isaac. His daddy already dug the wells. His daddy already went through the battles. His daddy already went through the famine. But Isaac, with his own family and with his own servants and with his people that he cared about, he had to obey God's voice. He had to go where God lead him. And he had to, by faith, battle his own battles, dig his own wells to see God's blessings in his own life. In verse 2, the Bible says, "The Lord appeared unto him and said, Go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of." God's plan sometimes always doesn't match our ideas. Amen. I grew up in northern Minnesota. Our church was in Wisconsin. I love skiing. Amen. I love ice fishing, staring at a hole all day doing this. Amen. I don't like sweating. That I walk outside at midnight in Brazil and I sweat. Amen? That's what we do. And so it's not my plan. But I'm following the Lord. God's plan, and I'm thankful for it. Amen. We've dug some wells. Amen. We've done dig some wells. God has blessed. Amen. In the water that we have seen, the blessings we have seen, the lives would change. The lives we have seen change, I wouldn't give them up for anything. Amen? God, in the blessings, through the blessings, we learn to keep digging and digging again. So, in verse... And then let's jump over and look at the first well. Let's look in verse 1. The wells of conflict. The wells of conflict. It said there was some troublesome time. There was a famine in the land. You know, in the world we expect trouble. The Bible says in John chapter 16, verse 33, "In the world ye shall have tribulation." We do not believe, according to the Word of God, in a prosperity preaching gospel. We believe we don't believe that, you know, if you give, we don't believe in the pyramid scheme, that if you give so much, God's going to give you three times or four times the amount that which you have given unto Him. No, sometimes there's going to be times that we as Christians just have to dig. There's sometimes that we as Christians are just going to have to get a hold of God. There's sometimes we're just going to have to seek His face. There's sometimes by faith, we're going to have to go out and try to start a work, and it might close down. It may not go exactly like we thought, but we're going to have to get up and dig again. Yep. Isaac had to dig again the same wells that his father already dug. He didn't say, "Oh, Lord, I'm not going there because, the spoiled brat attitude. My dad already did that." No, he said, "Okay, Lord, it was already done. But the enemy, the Philistines, filled it up. So I'm going to dig again." That's what happened. Let's look over verse 14. And he had possessions of flocks, and he possessions of herds, and great store of servants. And the Philistines, the enemy, the world, envied him for all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham, his father. The Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. That's the world. The wells of conflict. Well, I thought after I got saved, all the conflict would be over. I thought it would just be rainbows and butterflies. I don't know. Amen. Well, there will be wells of conflict. There will be times, troublesome times in our lives. But, you know, not only in the world, but also we'll see that conflict between the brethren. Look at it, if you would. Let's keep on reading here in verse 19. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. Amen. They found what they was looking for. Fresh, springing, lively, vivant water. That's what they found. You know, so now that all these herds they had that we read in verse 14, all these flocks and everything they own, all their goods, possessions and everything, their wealth, now they had a way to sustain that wealth. Now they had a way to live because they had springing waters. Hey, God's blessing the church. God's blessing the ministry. God's blessing the mission field. Everything's going well. We conquered the wells of conflict. You know, all the problems that the world gives us, all the problems the government gives us, we've overcome that and we got springs of water. We got living water. That's what they thought. That's where they were at this moment. But look what happened here in verse 20. And the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, "The water is ours." And he called in the name of the well Esek, because they strove with him. Herdsmen against herdsmen. Brethren against brethren. Now, I know in this church, there's no conflict. Amen? There's no confrontations. Never been a confrontation between one brother and another. Amen? That doesn't happen in a spiritual group like this. Amen? But it happens. I got a phone call a month ago. And our church in Brazil, one of the men called me and said, "Pastor, I want to be teachable, I don't understand what's going on, but there's a group in the church that decided to put up a sign. So as you come into our church or on the bulletin board there for everyone to see, all the visitors to see, they put out the financial statement every month of the church, what we receive and incoming and outgoing." Which sounds fine, amen? But he said the problem was that on this financial statement, they put every member's name with how much they gave or didn't give, amen? And he said, "That just doesn't seem right to me, Pastor. I wanted to know what you thought." I was like, "Give me names, amen." amen. I may be far away, but heads still can roll. Okay. So I was like, I just couldn't believe it. I leave. Well, even when I'm there, hey, there's conflict. Confrontation. Herdsmen, one with one idea, another one with another idea, and it just doesn't mesh. It just doesn't go. And praise the Lord for herdmen that have a head on their shoulders. Amen. I love the man's attitude that called me. He said, "Pastor," he goes, "it doesn't matter to me one way or another. I'm going to give no matter what." He goes, because "it's not mine." He said, when I take it out of here, he said, "and I put it in an offering plate," he goes, "the pastor, if he wants to, he can go out and get a pedicure." Amen. I don't care what he does with it because I give it to God. Amen. It doesn't matter. If it's stolen or whatever the church does with it, I didn't give it to them. I gave it to God. It's God's. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. But there's always not that kind of attitude. Sometimes a herdsman sometimes the members, the brethren, strive one against another. So what are we going to do? Well, let's just shut the doors down. It's not worth it. I don't agree with what's going on. It's better if this church just close up. I've heard that before. So what did Isaac do? Well, let's look. In verse 21. And they digged another well. They moved on. They kept working. They kept sweating. They did a dirty, dangerous job. Why? Because it was needful. They needed to see living water. When are we as God's people going to realize that we just don't want to go to church week after week? We want to see God's hand in our midst. Amen? We want to, and sometimes that involves us getting down and doing the dirty work and praying day in and day out and seeking the face of God during the times of conflict. So we have the wells of conflict, the wells of confrontation. In verse 21, it says, and they digged another well. But catch this, it strove for that also. And he called the name of it Sitna. So they just didn't dig, even in the troublesome time in between the brother and in between the herdsmen, they dug two different wells during the time of confrontation. But I want us to look down in verse 22. And it says, and he removed from thence and digged another well. And catch this, church. And for that they strove not. Do you think the Lord knew that they were eventually going to find a well of springing water, amen, that they wouldn't strive for? Do you think the Lord knew that there was a time of tribulation, a time of testing for the church, a time of purification of the body? Where they could come to the point where God could use them and mold them for his service in the place he had planted them. Amen. Amen. That's what the Lord has called us to do. In church, we know that, yes, there will be wells of conflict. There will be wells of confrontation. But those wells of confrontation are a time of decision. It's where we decide, yes, there was conflict in the world, and we expected that. But when there's conflict within the family, and then when there's conflict within even the church family, and in our own lives, a time of confrontation, we have to confront whether we really will walk by faith or not, if we will really continue to serve the Lord or not. You know, there was times in my ministry, and like I said, we were there 5.5 years, no other missionary. You know, we'd see people, other missionaries, in Cambodia, you know, say, oh, we met with, you know, 20 some missionaries for Thanksgiving or Christmas, and we're like, you lucky bums, amen. You know, we don't have that. I didn't have, back in those days, we didn't have, you know, the live stream and, you know, so many messages you could listen to. And we were in the city of Jipana, isolated for 2 years by ourselves, and saw the Brewers or Mantonias maybe once, twice a year, and had a very lack of communication and fellowship with anyone. And I remember, you know, preaching, and some people, not many souls were getting saved, and I started thinking, I don't even know if I know what a fundamental Baptist is anymore, amen? And so I got online, and I typed in, what is a fundamental independent Baptist? You know, and did a search, and a video came up, not video, an old audio came up of a pastor preaching, what is a fundamental Baptist? And I sat there, and check, 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 yeah, I'm still good, amen? And that was encouraging to me, but it was a well that had to be dug. What kept me on the mission field? The same thing that sent me to the mission field, my call. Amen. Praise the Lord for the call. Amen. If you have the call of God, it will send you, but it will also keep you where God has called you. If God has called you to win souls, he'll keep that call will keep you winning souls. If God's called you to be a witness to your family, it will keep you witnessing to your family. So why? so we can partake in the way of completion. And we also see in verse 22, and he removed from thence and digged another well, and for that they strove not, and he called the name of it Rehoboth, and he said, for now the Lord had made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. The other day my wife and I were somewhere, and we were reading the Bible, and I was talking about fruit, and I kind of made the dad joke to her. Amen. I said, you know, the Lord is concerned with his health because he likes fruit. Amen. I know it's corny. Amen. But hey, they were fruitful. They wanted fruit. They wanted to see the hand of God in their life. Hey, I want to see God move in my church. Amen. I want to see God move in my life. I want to see God move in my family. But Dad, that might mean that you have to dig some wells. That means there might be some conflicts to get through. I don't know what your well to be dug is. I don't know what battles you have to go through. I don't know what ministries you might have to strive through. But I can guarantee you that there are other herdsmen, there are other brothers striving. And while the missionary is striving, the local New Testament church can strive. And together we're striving together for the cause of Christ, and we can see much fruit in the land. Amen. Not everyone is called to Brazil. Maybe you were burdened this evening with the pictures you saw and the faces you saw and say, oh, I had a burden, so God must have called me to Brazil. It doesn't mean God has called you to Brazil, but you were burdened. Why? Because God put that burden in your heart, because Matthew says, go ye therefore. Well, how can I go unless I physically go? You can go through the ministry of your local New Testament church. Faith, promise, giving. That's how you go. That's how you fulfill the burden you have for those people. You cannot physically go, but we can. And through the ministry of the local New Testament church, you can fulfill God's promise, fulfill God's command by sending. So there's a preacher. Amen. And then we'll end with one of the verses we'll end with is verse 32. And it came to pass the same day Isaac's servants came and told him concerning the wells which they had digged, and said unto him, we have found water. What a good report. Amen. Amen. Isn't it a wonderful report when someone's gone out door knocking and they come back and they say, you know what? Someone received the word of God today, Pastor. What a good report. Isn't it a good report? Say, hey, we found water. The missionary in his prayer letter says, hey, we strove and we dug this well and we dug that well, but we tried this and we tried that. It didn't work. Have you ever read that missionary letter where the missionary said, hey, I'm going to this town. We started this ministry. And then you hear nothing else about it later. Maybe that well was, maybe the enemy, the Philistines, filled it up. But then they keep on. And then a few letters later, maybe a year later, hey, we've seen souls saved and baptized. Amen? That's a good report. Hey, they found water. Why? Because they dug in. What a good report his servants had. And in Galatians, and we will close with this, Galatians 6. Just want to encourage the church to keep on keeping on. Amen? Be faithful. Praise the Lord for his faithfulness to us throughout the years. And he will continue to bless us. And if we, verse 9 of Galatians chapter 6, and let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we, what church? Amen. How close have you been before to that water? And given up maybe just a foot away. How close have we been to that victory, to that spring water, but maybe given up a little too early? if we faint not, let us not be weary. Well, it's easy to be weary. It's easy to come up with the excuses. Amen. We're in Brazil, hot, sweaty, muggy, air conditioning isn't working today. Amen. I don't think I'll do anything. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Church, let's dig again. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for His faithfulness. And I don't know that your pastor and I haven't sat down and talked to each other since we were here 10 years ago. Amen. I don't know the struggles. I don't know the heartaches of this church. I don't know what's going on in the families or individuals of this church. But I have a church. I know the Lord has a church that He allows me to minister over. Amen. And I know that it's easy to faint. I know that we get weary. So church, dig again. Amen.
Amen.
We praise the Lord. Our church in Brazil loves missions. I've realized that not every mission work loves missions, unfortunately. But praise the Lord, we have a group of people that we want to see God bless in their life. And we preach and teach missions in the churches in the United States, saying, hey, if you want God to bless your life, give. If you want eternal investment in heaven, if you want eternal reward, participate in faith promise. Well, I want my people in Brazil to have eternal rewards too, amen, in heaven. I want them to have partake of eternal blessings. So I invite them and teach them God's word about investing in eternal investment, laying up treasures up in heaven, amen. So they love missions, and we've supported missionaries to the Indians in the Amazon before, and right now they've had two missionaries in since I've been gone in the last 2 months, amen, and they're taking one on that's going to India. Praise the Lord for that. And in March, our mission, our church that we're starting, officially took over a work 4 hours away from us in the city of Candeias without a pastor. And it became a mission work under our mission work. The Lord is good. Amen?
Amen.
Dig again. Trying to, going on for the Lord. Digging the wells. It's easy to faint, but we want to see that fruit. Oh, we want to reap. We want to be a healthy church. So we want fruit. We want water. So we need to dig. Amen. Lord, we love You. We thank You for Your goodness and grace. Lord, we thank You for a church that loves souls and loves missions, Father. But Lord, we can get weary in well-doing. Lord, while we are out there in the desert and in the world, Lord, our flesh wants to faint and give up, Father. But Lord, we thank You for Your word that is a springing well of living water, Lord. We thank You for Your Son, and Lord, when we run back to the source of our faith, Lord, we are refreshed. And Lord, maybe here this evening, there's a brother or sister that needs to be refreshed in Your word. Lord, we pray that they would just go back to the source, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the word, and be refreshed, Lord, so that we might dig again, we might see fruit, Lord, abounding to our heavenly account. This we pray in the name of Christ our Savior. Amen.